So this is number 17 in the study on manifestations, future manifestations of Christ. And we're still in Matthew 24. I think this will be the last week. I will not prolong the Matthew 24 issue any longer, but I find every week that I know less and less and have more and more questions about the future events that take place. I think the coming of the Lord is somewhat clear, the parousia is somewhat clear, at least in the aspect or the approach that we see in Matthew 24. It's putting together the pieces of everything, because we're going to look at a couple of parables today, or maybe one parable today. We're going to associate that with our own hope and calling, because I believe there's a parallel there, not necessarily in the same sense, but I think the urgency is there, and I believe that's what Matthew 24 is about, the urgency, and what the people will be doing with their life at the time that the Lord returns. And I look at that in the same sense that we have scriptures that talk to us. In fact, we have scriptures written to us that speak of latter times, which the terminology there in itself is a sign. That's one of the issues of Matthew 24. The Lord is answering the question about when this sign, or what would be the sign. And I think we have a sign. Believe it or not, as Gentiles, the Lord tells us the things that will be happening in the latter days, which I believe are certainly in action to some degree. And so, regardless of that, let's turn to Matthew 24. And we'll get into that. I shouldn't say regardless of that, but we will get into that a little bit. And notice the key word here as we look at verse 42. I think we covered this quickly last week. I'll just go over it briefly. But it has everything in the world to do with this, chapters 24 and 25. It has everything in the world to do with the parousia. And I think it also has to do with the appearing. And that's the word watch. Verse 42. Watch, therefore. So the word watch here is the Greek word Gregor, and it means to give strict attention to. It occurs in three places in this context. It's in verse 42, it's in verse 43, and it also appears in 25:13. Now, the beginning of chapter 25 begins with then, the word then, and that means then, at that time. It's not something that says it's happening, you know, for the last 2,000 years it was happening, so to speak. But then, at that time, when these things began to happen, that kingdom of heaven is going to be likened unto 10 virgins. So, in chapter 25, that's the way that begins. And then in verse 13, it ends, that parable ends with, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So that's kind of a key to this whole thing. He gives you warnings, he gives you signs, he gives you some exact data, he speaks about the lightning, the lightning out of the east shineth even to the west. It's gonna be a flash. I mean, it's gonna happen in a flash. As 1 Corinthians speaks of that, what does he say? In the twinkling of an eye. So then we've kind of gone through those scriptures, and let's start in verse 42, because this is the key, I believe, to understanding this aspect of the coming of the Lord. And I say this aspect because the more I look at this and look at prophetical verses, look at verses, scripture here in the New Testament, in Paul's writings, in John, the Revelator's writings, there are so many question marks left for me that it's difficult to take Matthew 24 and say this is it. He covers everything, because he doesn't. So this is the way the Holy Spirit works, and we're going to go with that. So let's continue here in chapter 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. The word come here is the word erchomai. It's not the word parousia, which we have been looking at. We're going to see the word erchomai, and I'm mispronouncing that intentionally, because if I pronounce it, it's too hard to duplicate for me anyway. And so, Urko may I, ma I is more close. I get more a, it's more close. But I'm just going to say Urko ma, in the Greek there. So, it just so happens to occur all of a sudden in chapter 24 and 25, 17 times. So in chapter 24, we've already read it up to now 3 times. In chapter 24, I'm just going to give you this if you're writing them down. We won't look at them, but 24, verse 5, verse 30, verse 39, and now in verse 42 and 43, 44, 46, and 48. That is the word cometh, and we'll see it in different forms here. And that occurs 8 times in chapter 24. Then in chapter 25, it occurs 9 times. And we're going to read some of those. Verses 6, 10, 11, 13, 19, 27, 31, 36, and 39. And if you want those, I'll do it again after the study, at the end of the study. But I'm only calling that to your attention because that's the way the Holy Spirit, I believe, calls our attention to things. When he duplicates words or when he uses a word that many times, there must be a message behind it. But that doesn't end that particular subject. It also occurs in a different form. That is, it's got a preposition to it. So when we look at the parable of the 10 virgins, we're going to see ex erkomai, we're going to see aper erkomai, and eis erkomai several times in just a few verses. And it's used of those 10 virgins. And you're going to see there's 5 wise virgins, and you're going to see there's 5 foolish virgins. And there's a different word used for each one, a different preposition tacked onto this word. And it would take a study or two, I think, to understand the full meaning of that idea that this word means something. But I honestly believe the Holy Spirit says, you know, stop, look, and listen. Here's something that I'm calling to your attention. And so when we look at this word watch, it means to strict attention or pay attention. And I'm quoting this, I believe, from Strong's. Take heed lest through remission and indolence some destructive calamity suddenly overtake you. We're back at the word watch now. So forgive me for, going over to this other word, but, this is something that requires strict attention. Now, what's interesting about this word is the root. It comes from the root word egairo. And I believe many of you may recognize that and what it might mean, or what that word is. And it's associated with resurrection. It's the word to rise. So let's look at a few verses here where the root word occurs. And keep that in mind because we want to intensify the meaning of the word watch. So if I go back to Matthew 2, the first time it's used is with Joseph and Mary and the newborn child. So if we go back to chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, here's a gyro, and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. So here we see there's a sensitivity to the fact that they're being warned about something. And that's how this word, the root word, is being used here. And of course, if they stayed around, that child would have been slain. But of course the Lord is protecting. So the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring the word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, Agairo, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. And I'm not sure how far I want to read. I want to jump down to verse 20 and 22, verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. So here the word is used four times, the very base meaning of that word that we associate with resurrection. A couple more verses. In 16:21, let me see what I wrote down here. There were a lot of them, so I didn't, obviously we're not going to look at all of them. In Matthew 16:21, we read this. If I can get there. 16:21. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So this raising has to do with, it's associated with being aroused from sleep. And that's what is going, that's what we're going to read about in the parable of the ten virgins. They all slumbered, all ten of them slumbered, and something happened. And they were awakened by something. So there's an association with the word awaken. And I'll just mention that, in 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 20, he uses that word along with the other Greek word for resurrection. So he distinguishes the word there, Paul does, Holy Spirit does, between this word, rising, and also, in fact, I better read that because I'm going to confuse you by what I'm saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, very familiar passage of scripture, but notice how the two words that are associated with resurrection are used. In verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of them among you that there is no resurrection? So there's two words there. We have a gyro and anastasis. Resurrection is anastasis. So, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. So there has to be an arousing before there is a resurrection. And I believe that's pointed out in, Ephesians, I'm thinking off the top of my head here, I believe in Ephesians 2, when it talks about a quickening. And so there is an arousing before resurrection, something to think about. And so this is the base root of the word that we find here that says watch. So let's keep that in mind because, it's a word that when it's associated with saints and believers and so forth, it means to wake up. Colossians 4:2 is the only place in the present epistles that this word is used, and I will read that, but I believe it carries this same idea of urgency. Oops. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And then the very next subject that he takes up is putting on, that's in Ephesians. But anyway, this talks about, this goes into an area that has to do with principalities and powers, which were warnings already in the book of Colossians here too. So the watching and praying, continuing in prayer, is something that we need to think about as an urgent plea for the things that we deal with in our life. And if we keep our mind in prayer, which means we're communicating with God, it's not going to give us much time to think about the things that distract us and keep us from, that affect our faith and so forth. So anyway, this is a very important aspect of what we're reading in Matthew 24. So let's go on. I think I'm taking too much time here. Let's go on and read a few more verses that I think we read last week here in chapter 24, the end of chapter 24. Let me continue then from verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch, and here's a different word for watch. This is a term that has to do with, I think of it as guard duty. It's a term that would be used in military, the soldiers who kept prisoners and so forth. They had different times that they watched. When I was in the military, and as much far back as basic training, one of the things you had to do was, on a couple of occasions during that period of time, you had to go on guard duty. And you did these two shifts, and it was through the night and so forth, and it became a very serious thing. In war, it's a very serious thing. You cannot fall asleep on guard duty in the middle of the night. And so, there's some strong and strict punishment for such a thing. But same idea here, the urgency of it. So let's read on. In the house that had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and here's our word that we just talked about, Gregor U-O. So he would have watched and would have suffered his house to be broken into and not have suffered his house to be broken into. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think, not the Son of Man cometh. I wonder what we think in our own lives. Or how many of us are really concerned about the Lord appearing at any moment? Or are we pretty busy with our own life? Well, that's exactly what's going on here in Matthew 24. He spoke about the days of Noah and what was going on there. And we're going to see that in a moment in this parable. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh. That's erchomai, not parousia. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So here he's speaking about a servant and his place, his position over a household, and how he's going to be rewarded for it. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant... We're still talking about servants. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about those who are saved, or who in this case are called servants, who would be ministers. So here's what the foolish ones do, or here's what the evil one is, we find out about. Verily I say unto you, he shall make a rule over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. See, I don't have to be too serious. I don't think the Lord's coming. He's going to back off, and he's not going to be that excited about it. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. That servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and by the word shall come here is the word erchomai, not parousia, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this occurs six times. Weeping and gnashing of teeth occurs six times. We should look at that, but we're not going to do that today. Maybe at another date. We will look at that. Here it's associated with appointing him a portion with the hypocrites. In a couple of the other places, it's associated with outer darkness. And then there's another occasion. So we'd have to look at those and rightly divide them and see exactly what they mean. But I think I understand what weeping and gnashing of teeth is. The last thing that I want to do is be sorry for some of my actions, for my unfaithfulness, when I appear before the Lord. And I believe that is the gist of what is going to happen with these. The weeping and gnashing of teeth is the heartbreak of what you're losing. And so I think there's a lot of things that we could be talking about here, but we definitely don't have the time for it. So chapter 25. This is still a continuation of 24, really, because he's still answering the question. And in verse 1, he says, then, that is at that time, not during, a 2 or 3 thousand year period here, that you gotta look out for every moment of the day, but he says, at that time shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now, let me say this about this issue about 10 virgins. The word virgin can be male or female. And, I'll show you something in Revelation in just a moment. But, think about what a virgin is. It's one who's chaste and pure, undefiled, not affected, no immorality at all. So this is a pure person, a very pure person. It's going to be, I'm not sure if I would say an overcomer, but perhaps. When we look at it in Revelation, it's associated, we look at virgins associated with 144,000, and all of those are sealed. And I don't think that we're talking about the 144,000 here. We'll look at that in a moment. But whatever it is, these, all 10 of these are the same thing. This isn't about a believer and a non-believer. 5 wise ones and 5 foolish ones. 5 wise ones being believers and the 5 foolish ones being non-believers. These are 10 solid, believers who have life. And who have something to look, who have an opportunity at eternal life, which goes beyond eternal life that we think of, but a hope and a calling for an age that they will get to participate in reigning with the Lord. And so, if we look at, look at it from that perspective, let's turn over to Revelation 14 for a moment. Let's just read the first 4 verses. I don't believe these are the same issues. That's why I say this subject is so vast I can't let go of it, but at the same time I really want to because it's so difficult to understand and as I speak in human terms, as I speak from the flesh. But, in chapter 14, real quickly, let me just read the first 4 verses. And I looked and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. And 4,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the 4 beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. And let's remember, we don't find this anyplace else in Scripture. This is in John's account of Revelation. So this, in my mind, would be worthy of calling a mystery. That is, it's not written about to this level anyway, elsewhere in Scripture, unless I'm totally mistaken. But I think these people may be mentioned in some respect. Verse 4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they, so now we're talking about men. These 144,000 are men, and he calls them virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits of God and to the Lamb. So we won't go on with that and understand what that fully means, but he uses the term virgins with them. So these guys are covered. Totally covered. If you remember, the passage that we're reading spoke of the days of Noah. And if I turn back to Genesis 6, we have an idea, I believe, here about this same concept of not being defiled and so forth. When we read of this account in Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now the subject changes. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. This man, was perfect in his generation. It had not been polluted or corrupted by the evil seed line. So this was the perfect seed. I believe that's what we see over here in Matthew 4. And that's part of the reason he brings in Noah, the days of Noah. And now he takes these 10 virgins. They had this perfect seed line at that time. And we read here, back to 25, verse 1 again. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. So we've established that all 10 of these guys, or women, whatever they are, they're equal, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And let me stop right there. The word went forth is the word, are we ready for this? Where am I at here? I've got it written down, I know I do. Well, went forth is, I believe, ex-erkermia. So here we have that root word, or that base word, erkermia. And so all 10 of them, it has the prefix ex in front of it. That's where we get, if you think of an exit sign, or exiting, that it gives you a little bit of an understanding of what he's saying here. So all 10 of them did what? They went forth, ex-erkermia, to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all 10 of them now, so he divided them into 2 groups here. Now he says, all 10 of them slumbered and slept. So, okay, they're humans, they have to sleep. And this word is often taken right in this type of context about, remember, we're going to be aroused, arisen, there's going to be an arisen, arising and so forth. So those words kind of go together here. That's the base of this word. So, let's see, so while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. So here the word go ye out is another erkamai word, and in this case it has the, I believe it's the app prefix to it, and forgive me for not writing these down in a clearer method here, but I want to call to your attention that he's using the same word, only he uses a different preposition in the front of it. Verse 7, then all of them, right, they're still together, arose, a gyro, and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps have gone out. Nothing here about salvation, not one of them losing their life and going to hell. This is about pure, chaste people at this particular time and what they're doing. So this has to do with not salvation, but watching and being alert. And it makes me think, wow, am I doing that? Because this is pretty serious. And the foolish said to the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, so now they is the 5 unwise ones, 5 foolish ones. While they went to buy, here's another erkamai word, and it has the word, the prefix EIS, I believe, in front of it. I might be mixing this up because I didn't write this down very clearly. But anyway, this is another one. But this is the only one, this word is the only one that's used of the foolish ones. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, erkamai, and they that were ready went in. And here's a different one. I believe it's the word, it has the word apple in front of it. Once again, I need to clarify these because I didn't put them down in a clean enough for me to read it here. So we have this account. The ones who are foolish, they went off
And I believe if you look at that word, you'll see it's usually used in a negative way with that prefix. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins saying, and here's the word Erpamai, other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So this is how we started, with the word watch. We're ending with the word watch. And this is associated with those 10 virgins. So once again, I emphasize the fact that it has nothing to do with salvation here. Now it has to do with reward. I think that's where, at this point, I'm going to step away from chapter 24, and I'm going to read a series of passages of Scripture that are associated with the church, which is his body. And I believe there's an urgency here, and that there's a reward here associated with it. These are verses that you're well aware of. But these are very similar challenges that we have, that these people have. And it's all associated with hope and calling. So I think the point is, we need to watch, as Paul says in Colossians, and pray. And he uses that same word because this is urgent and it's serious. And it's what we do with our life that we need to be concerned about. I'm going to start with 1 Timothy 4:1. Because I want to distinguish between what I'm going to read in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. By the way, this is immediately after Paul had delivered this, the few verses here dealing with good and correct worship. Without controversy, great is the mystery of good worship. Verse 16. Now, verse 4 and 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and he goes on and mentions some other things. What I want to point out here is this, the latter times here were happening right there. And this is one of the reasons I believe Timothy was written late, because this was beginning to happen, something that he was prophetical about. And these things, this apostasy began after Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians were written. You can take it or leave it. Now let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I said earlier that we have some signs given to us. So Israel's not the only one who's look after signs, so to speak, at least in this sense. Because the Lord is not going to leave us high and dry and not let us know anything about the last days. So here, verse 1 of chapter 3, and I'll read probably down to 9 kind of quickly without going into detail, but it would be great to go into detail and look at these in the sense of what's happening today. This know also that in the last days, not latter times, but in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, that's pretty obvious. Covetous, yes. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, blaspheming in the sense that he mentions in Titus. He told Titus to speak evil of no man. It's hard to open your mouth, I believe, without saying something negative about somebody else. Disobedient to parents, absolutely. Unthankful. It's funny how many people who, a lot of the cases you see in the news, people who commit crimes, how most of the time they go back and relate to their childhood and how they were abused or whatever. And, you know, it's a great excuse today to get out of something. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Most of these line up with Romans chapter 1, the last few verses of Romans chapter 1 that were associated with the Gentiles and Tower of Babel, and when the Lord had to deal with those people, and that's when he brought Abraham out. He chose Abraham out to bring his seed into the world, his perfect seed into the world. So having a form of godliness, of worship, good worship, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then he associates this with the days of Moses and what was happening there. So he's talking about, I believe he's talking primarily to non-believers, but there are believers who have fallen into this. Anyway, these certainly, I believe we can say, most of these we can say are prevalent today. So, is the Lord giving us a sign that, hey, maybe we should watch and pay attention? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 8 onward. I know you know this. I'm going to repeat it because it's in the context of what we're looking at in Matthew 24. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now he's going to carry this idea of works forward, because we need works. So on one hand he says, not of works. Our works are worthless in one sense, but there's another side of works that's extremely important and urgent. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So what was before ordained? I have in the past erroneously said our works were before ordained. They have been prepared. That's not true. We have been prepared unto good works. We have that ability to do good works, and we should walk in them. So good works is a part of this urgency and what we do with it daily. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. And we're not going to go much longer here. My wife usually warns me when I say that we go forever, so let's do this. Keep it in check here. Chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared, epiphania, to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live, this is how we should be living our lives, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for. Now this is pretty much in line with what we're talking about when we say watch. This is our word for watching here. Looking for, being intent with this, for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. There's a reason that he gave himself for us, for this particular group of believers here, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, okay, and purify to us a peculiar people, what? Zealous of good works. We have been prepared for good works, and we would be like these that we read in these parables, like the foolish ones, if we don't. So stop and think about how serious that is. Our hope and calling is pretty much set. Our reward, that's a different story. And how serious, we should just automatically, from the awesomeness of what we have in Christ, it shouldn't even be an issue. But we still have an old nature, so it is still an issue. So let me close with 2 Timothy chapter 4, some quick verses here. And I believe you're aware of what I'm going to be talking about, of what I'm going to be reading. But I'm going to start at the beginning of chapter 4. Verse 1, I charge you thee therefore, talking to Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. So we're not talking about the parousia, we're talking about an epiphania. Same thing though, it's serious. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Well, that doesn't give you any other time, does it? In season, out of season, you don't have any other time. In fact, you don't have much time to think about yourself. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all unsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So once again we see some signs here. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction. Watch there. Here's the word watch. It's a different word watch, I believe. Yes, it's nephel. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work. Oh my, got more work here. Do the work of an evangelist. That's what he told him to do, Timothy to do. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. It's the course, not my course. So he's finished the course. That's what we are on. We're on a course. We're in a race. No, anybody in the right mind who's trying to win a race is going to run off the side and sit down and rest and relax or be distracted by something else. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Have love for his appearing. So I'm going to stop there. I think there's a lot of things we can certainly tie a long parallel with what we read back in the previous dispensations. Same type of idea, same principles there, but now we have our own hope and calling. And we're doing it through grace now. We're not under any law that is very strict and so forth. We have an opportunity to do this by grace. And I think that's probably what is being manifested to principalities and powers the most. We're no longer, here's a group of people who have been called out, and they're making their decisions strictly on grace, at least we should be, and not because we're reading something that says we absolutely have to. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for this wonderful hope and calling we have and the seriousness of it. Remind us continually, please, Lord, to think about these good works that we are to walk in. The fact that you've already prepared us for good works. Thank you for this group of believers and for what we share in Christ. In the name of the Lord Christ Jesus, amen.